You know, in the Word of God, it talks about the hand of the Lord a lot. And the hand of the Lord is not too short. Isaiah 59:1. I'll give you all a chance. I see people turning in their Bible. I see people getting their iPads and iPhones and out looking it up. All righty. Isaiah 59:1 in the New King James says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot say, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear." Now, NLT says it like this. "Listen, the Lord is not too weak to save you. He's not becoming deaf. He can hear you when you call." Now here, Isaiah is declaring that the hand of the Lord is not too short to help his people. He is declaring that there's no problem on God's part. So if something's not happening, it can't be, it's not on God's part, it has to be on our part. The problem here is the Israelites were not living like they should and putting God first. Consequently, their faith wasn't working. It seems like they have forgotten the song that Miriam sang after they crossed the Red Sea. "Your right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, has dashed the enemy in pieces." That's over in Exodus 15:6. She is reclaiming the mighty hand of the Lord, had performed and brought miracles and brought them out of Egypt. God's mighty hand had repeatedly delivered Israel from their enemies. His hand had had Israel to triumph over all of their enemies and possess the promised land. Today, I want to focus on that phrase, "The hand of the Lord is not shortened that it cannot save or cannot deliver you," might be another way to say it. You know, people are looking for help today. They're looking all around wondering where help's going to come from. People are dealing with different kind of issues, hardships, circumstances, and so forth. Even Christians are asking, "Hey, can I find any help from the attack of the enemy?" You know, we should not be upset at what's going on. We shouldn't be, feeling down because of troubles and trials, because the Word of God says that Jesus said that the enemy is coming to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So it shouldn't come as a surprise to us that there's problems. Look at what John said in John 16:33. Actually, he's quoting what Jesus, he's telling what Jesus said, really. In John 16:33, Jesus had been talking to them, and then he made this statement. "These things I've spoken to you, that in me you might have peace." Now get a hold of this. "In the world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Now John 16:33 in the NLT says, "I've told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I've overcome the world." Today, like I said, I want to remind you that the hand of God is not too short to deliver you out of your situation, your circumstance, or whatever it is you're facing. You know, it's not time to cower down in fear. It's a time to believe and stand up and believe what the Word of God says and believe that the hand of the Lord is strong enough to deliver you and set you free. Isaiah 41:10, most of us know this scripture, but we'll read it. Isaiah 41:10. I'm going to read it. New King James. Give you a chance to turn there. If you don't have this scripture marked, you need to mark it. My dad used to say, if you can't mark in your Bible, get rid of that one and get one you can mark in. Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I'm with you. Be not dismayed, for I'm your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. This is a time for us to begin to believe what the Word of God says and believe that God's hand is not shortened to help us in whatever situation we find ourselves in. You know, faith, and Matthew says, if you have faith, a grain of a mustard seed. Well, that's not very much faith. You ever seen how little a mustard seed is? It's really small. And it says there, if you just have that much faith, just a little bit of faith. Now, I know that we all have faith because the Bible tells us in Romans, it says, we have all been given a measure of faith. Is that not so? So we all have faith. Now, some people's faith is stronger than other people's faith because just like some people's muscles are stronger than other people's muscles because they work it out. You can have faith, but my dad used to say some people's faith is not strong enough for the problem that they're facing. They got to get in the Word of God and begin to study and build their faith up so that they can face the problem and take care of the problem. That'd be like, you know, I mean, I used to lift a little bit, but I'm not about to go over there in that weight room and start trying to lift 225 pounds to a bench press of 225 because I haven't lifted in a long time and there ain't no way that I can do it. Okay? If I won't hurt myself, I could try. But see, that some people, they rock along, everything going along fine, and then the devil hits them, but they haven't been working out their faith, I'm talking about. So now they've got to get in the Word and begin to study. You see, when you activate the smallest amount of faith in the Word of God, God moves on your behalf. When we believe and speak the word, God goes into action. You know, God ordained the operation of faith, and when we do, his mighty hand will move for us. Of course, we all know the scripture that this ministry is built upon. We got the sign on top of the building, faith. Mark 11:22-24. So Jesus answered them, said, have faith in God, have the God kind of faith. For surely I say to you, whoever says this mountain be removed, be the cast in the sea, does not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things which he says will be done, he'll have whatever he says. Therefore I say, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe they receive them and you will have them. Perhaps you're saying, well, I've done all of that. Well, keep doing it. The Bible says, after having done all, stand. Just keep on standing. Keep on confessing the Word of God. You know, somebody said, well, I'm standing on the Word. Well, good. Keep standing. You know, you have seen me put this Bible of mine on the floor and stand on it because I'm standing on the Word, but I've actually put it on the floor and stood on it and said, all right, God, I am literally standing on the Word. When no answer seems to be in sight, no change seems to be taking place, the problem seems to be getting larger than smaller. The challenge we have now is, what do we do? Do we begin to see and question, is God's hand shortened? No. God's hand is still the same. It's still the same delivering hand that it was with the Israelites in the Old Testament, with all of the early church in the New Testament, and it's same the delivering hand that we have today. If we'll believe it and confess it, God will be there for us. It's up to us. What do we believe? What are we saying? Are we saying, oh my God, what am I going to do now? Or are we saying, oh, just another chance to prove God's word works? Hello? Now you all know that's a statement from my dad, and I heard it thousands of times. Just another chance to prove God's word works. You know, let me reassure you that faith in the word of God will see you through. Now, you may be living in a fast-paced world and you want it now, but you just stand your ground in faith and you will see it come to pass. You know, everything in the Word of God, when Jesus even ministering to healing to people, some were healed instantly, but some began to mend from that hour, and some were healed as they went. Come on now. We want it instant. If you'll keep believing God, the hand of God will move for your deliverance. Now let's look at Matthew 14. Matthew 14, verse 25. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a ghost, and they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. So he said, come. And Peter had come down out of the boat. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink and cried out, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said, oh, you little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got in the boat, the wind ceased. Now, everybody always talking about Peter sinking, but let me tell you what, at least he got out of the boat. Some people won't even get out. The other disciples wouldn't even get out of the boat. They could have done the same thing, but they stayed in the boat. Some people are not willing to step out over the aching void of nothingness with nothing underneath them but the Word of God. My dad used to say that all the time. Stepping out over the aching void of nothingness with nothing under you but the Word of God. Any of you ever heard him say it? I mean, I know many of you in this place have seen him preach personally or heard him on CDs one. And some of you are old enough to listen to the tapes. Okay. He stepped out. He did the impossible. But when he took his eyes off of Jesus and began to see the circumstance, things went the opposite direction. We may step out and start believing God, and when we see things not happening, then we begin to wonder, oh Lord, what's going on? And if we'll keep believing him, he'll stretch forth his hand just like he did with Peter, and lift him up and save him. See, we lose our focus because of the circumstance, because of the trial, because of the situation. All of a sudden, it seems bigger than God. I had a sermon I preached one time. Maybe I need to preach it again. Big God, little devil. Big devil, little God. You know, some people always talk, going around talking about, well, the devil's after me. The devil's been after me. The devil's been after me. And the old time Pentecost, and I was there as a kid, it may happen, and I think it happened, this happened in Baptist church too. I don't know about the rest of them, but somebody, they have a testimony meeting. Anybody ever been in a testimony meeting? Did they have testimony meetings in Baptist churches? Yeah, they did. I know they did, because I had friends there. And you know, somebody get up and say, oh, pray for me. The devil been after me all day. Bless his holy name. Anybody ever heard that besides me? Now, that's not what they meant, bless the name of the Lord, but it sounds like the opposite, right? But you see, some people, they are giving more credit to the devil. Hey, the devil may be after you. The devil may be slapping you up beside the head. But all you got, you can either recognize the devil or you can recognize the power of God. It's up to you. It's whichever one you want to do. You got a choice. Your choice is to either recognize what the Word says and stand on what the Word says, realizing that the hand of the Lord is there for you, or you can begin to moan and cry and complain, oh, I don't know what's going to happen. Now, we laugh about that, but how many times have we heard people say that? And let's be honest, how many times have you been there? Uh-oh. Now, they opened a can of worms, didn't I? Oh, no, not me, Pastor. Wait a minute. If you're breathing God's oxygen, we've all been there at one time or another. It's at that moment that you have to be like Peter. He realized, hey, wait a minute, I messed up. And he calls out. That's when we've got to realize, hey, I messed up. God, I still believe your right hand will help me. You see, there's where it all comes down to. It's not a matter of being in a situation or being in a circumstance. It's a matter of how we are going to respond in that. When adversity comes, how are you going to respond? You know, I use a lot of sporting illustrations, but they're good illustrations because, man, when stuff goes wrong, how you respond is going to affect the outcome. If you begin to tell them, here we go again, man, we're going to lose. You got to begin to think, hey, wait a minute. In fact, you know, the way it would affect me is I would play harder. I would just grit my teeth and say, okay, bud. You know, if I'm playing defensive back and the guy beats me, I grit my teeth and say, in fact, we'd be walking back to the, you know, we'd be downfield, walking back toward the huddle or wherever, and I say, boy, you better enjoy that one. That's the last one you're going to get. See, instead of wonder, but it causes some people to wonder, oh, well, man, I don't know whether I can cover this guy or not. Man, and that's what we've got to get, that same attitude when the devil comes at us with all kinds of stuff. We got to get that attitude. Okay, Mr. Devil, you come in here once and you got brought your bag of tricks. Now I'm going to tell you what's going to happen next time. It's over. You done played your hand and it's all over. Come on. Anybody getting anything out of this? I want you to notice that Jesus responded by reaching his hand out. His hand was not too short. It was not too weak. His hand is still strong. His hand is not weak. His hand will lift you up and out of any situation that you find yourself in. It's up to you what you believe. It's up to you what comes out of your mouth. coming out of your mouth can be, like I said a while ago, what are we going to do now? Or coming out of your mouth and said, no weapon formed against me will prosper. Coming out of your mouth, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. Nothing can come against me. Come on. It's, you know, we need to realize that our faith is based on the rock. The rock of the Word of God that does not change. I preached about it last week, about the unchangeable Word of God. But the Word, it says, heaven and earth may pass away, but my Word will never change. Never change. You know, the old song said, on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. I know all of you heard that old song. But we got to believe, you know, sometimes instead of just saying stuff, do we really believe it? Instead of just singing words, are they words that we really believe, or are we just singing words because that's what we're supposed to do? Come on. Don't look at me like that. It's the truth. Sometimes a minister will say, make this confession, we make it. Why? Because he said so, not because we believe it. Just because he said, do it. We need to get to the point when we say something, that's what we believe. The reason we're doing it is because we believe it. We believe it. When you're helpless, seemingly in the storms of life, remember the hand of God is reaching down. For you, you need to reach up and grab a hold of it. Oh, you know, there, Peter and John going through that gate called Beautiful, going into the temple. There's a man sitting there begging. I'm sure Peter and John had been in by there lots of times. This wasn't the first time they ever went through that gate. But for some reason, this time it caught Peter's attention. And Peter said, I don't have any gold or silver, but I got something. Peter reached down toward him and said, rise and walk. See, all of a sudden, Peter's hand was reaching down, but that hand turned into the hand of God. And that hand reached down and pulled that old boy up. And he began to run and shout because the hand of the Lord had touched him. Say it with me, the hand of the Lord. Believe it when you say it, the hand of the Lord is not too short to deliver me and set me free. Hallelujah. Sometimes, if we're not careful, we get prideful because we're believing God and things is going really good, and we get prideful. Look what I'm being able to accomplish. Hey, you're not accomplishing nothing. Without God, you can forget it. Am I saying anything this morning? Peter says in 1 Peter 5:6, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of the Lord that he may exalt you in due time. In due time. Some people wonder why they're not getting exalted or why they're believing God and it's not happening. Hey, it says in due time. When you plant seed, there's nothing there tomorrow. But in due time, whatever you've planted will grow. Any of you this past spring plant tomato plants? Two weeks after you planted it, did you go out and get any tomatoes? Huh? No. There is a planting time and there is a harvesting time. Now, in between time, you got to do something. That's when you plant, you say, this is what I'm believing God, blah, blah, blah. And then The harvest is here. In that between time is when that you continue to say, the hand of the Lord is working in my behalf. The hand of the Lord is working for me. If it's healing that you need to say, the power of God's working in my body to effect the healing and the cure. The power of God's working in my body to effect the healing and the cure. If it's finances you need to say, the hand of the Lord is going out and causing the ministering spirits to bring the finances. See, it's what you do in that in-between time that really, whether you have a harvest or not. Now, you just didn't leave that plant out there. You made sure that it had plenty of water. You made sure that there wasn't a bunch of weeds growing up around to choke the plant out when it was small. Hello? And if necessary, you put something out there to try to keep the birds away from coming down and picking holes in the tomatoes. Am I right or wrong? Why? Because you're doing what you need to do. We need to continue to humble ourselves. Say, all right, Lord, it's not me, it's you. I'm just here. I'm believing you. But some people, you know, they get a little prideful. Because they believe in God and things are happening, they get to think, man, you know, I'm faith man. A faith person. They walk around, you know, Superman go in a phone booth and spin around and come out, you know, with a big S on his chest. You know, some people they get like that with faith. They get thinking that they're some big faith person. You're nothing without doing something for God. You can't become prideful is what I'm trying to say. Let me go on. Now that's another sermon I better preach later. Psalm says in Psalms 118:16, the right arm of the Lord is raised in triumph. Excuse me. The strong right arm of the Lord has done glorious things. Is the Lord's hand too short? Is his arm too weak? What God can do in a moment's time, we could never accomplish in a lifetime. We can begin to believe and pray, and God can change leaders' minds on stuff. It happened in the Old Testament when they called out to God. The hand of the Lord can stop the work of the enemy. The hand of the Lord can lift you up past all of your shortcomings. The hand of the Lord, for you that need it, can remove all of your sin and wash you clean so that you can live the good life. The hand of the Lord can change any of your situations, can deliver you out of every kind of circumstance that you want to name. The hand of the Lord can deliver you, and there is nothing too hard for the hand of the Lord to deliver you out of. When it seems like all help is gone and it seems like you're going under, remember the hand of the Lord is there. Reach up and call on him and it'll bring you blessings. It'll bring you benefits. It'll bring you the promises of God. It'll bring you the provision of God. Let me tell you something. It's not too late to begin to call out to God for the hand of the Lord. Peter did not, when he was in that sinking position with the winds and the waves, he did not hesitate to call out to the Lord. Sometimes in our situations, we begin to try to do it ourselves. Let me tell you what. Let God do it. Let God do it. Sometimes we seem to think, well, I can handle this one by myself. That's what the devil wants you to do, and get to thinking that way, and then he gets you in trouble. No, you can't handle it by yourself. But with you and God, you can take care of anything. I used to tell my kids, Denise and Craig, when I put them to bed, I would tell them, hey, with you and God, you can do or be anything you want to be. It's you and God. Not you and your, all of your talents and how smart you are and what all you can do. No, it's you and God with your natural abilities, and you can be whatever you need want to be. Hello. Let me tell you this. All of us have natural abilities. If you'll trust God, he will put you in a position, whether it's work or whatever it is, where your natural ability can be used to its fullest. I really didn't want to be a minister. Didn't want nothing to do with it. But I've always had the ability to talk. Even when in grade school, when we first started in grade school, I never remember Miss Fowler, my first grade teacher. I think she come out of Noah's Ark too. She said to me one day, she said, Hagin, I can call on you anytime. You'll get up here and you'll talk to the, you, if I call and tell, say, hey, tell them this, you'll get up in front of the class and you talk, you tell them what you've read there from the book, what said you, and if I asked you to get up and read from the book, you know, you get up here and you just read it, and you have no, and said the rest of the people get up here and they're scared to death, they stumble. I said, well, I'm not scared, I mean, I've always been that way. So I guess God said, okay, you're a motor mouth, so I'm gonna take that and use it. Well, I talk about me, not you, because you don't want me talking about you. But what we got to realize, all of us have abilities and talents. Now let's let the hand of the Lord mold those and take and put us where we can do the best for ourselves in the natural, and where we can also be a minister for the kingdom of God. The word of God, I preach a sermon, everybody's a minister. You may never preach from up here, but you preach on your job every day, even if you don't say a word, the way you live for God. Hello now. God's right hand will reach down for you and lift you up. I'm talking about, what do you need? What are you going through that he can fix? There is nothing that your faith in the word of God will not cause God's hand to reach down and to help you. The hand of the Lord is not short, nor is it weak. The hand of the Lord is mighty. It is supernatural. It can do the impossible. Don't give up. For the hand of God wants to do mighty things for you and through you.
Yes, my hand is there for you, but you must be willing to reach up and grab the hand of the Lord and begin to say what I tell you to say, do what I tell you to do, and you will see that there will be victory, and you will shout and you will dance and you will say, oh, praise God, I have overcome because the hand of my God has lifted me up. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I guess I preached long enough. Did you get anything out of this today? Hallelujah. God is good. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.